Chapter 11. Saturday, 3:47 p.m. Let's get back to the house. Lucy climbed into the broiling car.
You think the mom is hiding something from us?
No, but I need to get a better feeling for Ashley. What kind of kid she was, what kind of person she would turn to for help. There has to be something in the house. Lucy's phone rang when they were about 3 miles away from the Yeager's house. It was Walden.
We may have something. A body.
Where? She asked, grabbing a pen and her notebook.
Tasty Treat, on Route 22, just past Murraysville. A young woman. While working the scene, they found Ashley's ID.
Is it Ashley? Her voice remained neutral, but her molars clamped down with a pulverizing force that spiraled pain into her jaw.
Don't know for sure.
We're about 10 minutes away. Stay with the mom. I don't want her hearing anything about this until we know what's going on.
No problem.
She hung up and repeated what he'd said to Burroughs. The slightest frown was Burroughs' only response as he steered the Impala through the traffic. Minutes later, she spotted the crime scene. Fire truck, ambulance, a smattering of police cars from several jurisdictions, all crowded a tiny dirt parking lot. Men in uniform milled around the outside of the ramshackle shack that housed the Tasty Treat. Burroughs slid the Impala between an Allegheny County Sheriff's vehicle and the Murraysville Volunteer Fire Rescue Squad. Two kids in their late teens, wearing firefighter turnout pants, sat on the rear bumper of the squad. They looked up at Burroughs and Lucy, but didn't meet their eyes. Instead, their gaze slid away, back down to the hard-packed dirt. Lucy spotted a puddle of vomit nearby and guessed it belonged to one of them. The building itself was small, maybe 700 square feet. It listed to one side. Lucy had the urge to tell the group of cops and firemen leaning against the far wall, laughing and smoking, to move around to the opposite side of the building, push the other way, and try to rebalance things. White paint was peeling from around the fogged windows. The roof was missing several shingles, and the cardboard signs with the daily specials had rotted in place within their plexiglass holders. She pushed open the front door, setting off a much too cheerful jangling from a brass bell. A half dozen police officers were gathered at the counter, laughing.
"Geez, it's not a carnival," she muttered.
"They heard the FBI was coming. Didn't want to miss their chance at the big time," Burroughs said. "Help me clear them out." She plastered a smile on her face and addressed the crowd. "Gentlemen, I'm Supervisory Special Agent Guardino from the FBI. Who is in charge here?" An Allegheny County deputy turned from where he'd been chatting with the other men at the counter.
"Well now, Special Agent from the FBI, we've just been trying to figure out why you'd be interested in our little case."
He shifted his duty belt, adjusting the weight, and glanced at his audience.
"This sure as hell ain't no case of domestic terrorism." "Unless the French did it,"
a Murraysville officer put in.
"Get it? French fries?"
The few chuckles and nods he received in response gave Lucy some idea of what she might be dealing with, and why the two boys out front had lost their lunches.
"I called the FBI,"
Chief Deputy Dunmar said as he entered from the door behind the counter.
"Get your butt off that counter, Lassiter, and clear these people out of here."
The deputy jumped to his feet.
"Now."
Lucy gave Burroughs a nod.
"See, that's how it's done."
She beamed at Dunmar, and for once it wasn't fake. "Thank you, Chief Deputy. Mind running over things for myself and Detective Burroughs?"
"No problem at all," he replied, his shirt buttons threatening to spring off as he puffed up with importance. "If you follow me."
He led them behind the counter, past the soft-serve machines and deep fryers. One of the fryers was covered with clear plastic, a smattering of black fingerprint powder visible beneath it. A small room was chiseled out of the back corner of the building. In it, there was a card table and two folding chairs. A young woman with blonde hair pulled back into a hairnet and wearing a polyester robin-egg blue uniform sat at the table, her face buried in her hands,
crying. A uniformed police officer stood beside her, looking miserable.
"This our reporting witness?"
Burroughs asked in a low voice that barely carried over the sound of the girl's weeping. Dunmore nodded.
"But everything you want to see is out here."
He pushed open an emergency exit door in the rear of the establishment. Here, there was a green metal dumpster and several large, airtight liquid waste containers. One of them had the lid off and a foul stench emanating from it. Burroughs hid his wretch with a cough. Dunmore didn't bother to hide anything. Instead, he freshened the wad of chaw in his mouth and stood at the door, not going any closer. The smell wasn't the usual odor of decomp. Instead, it blended odors of burnt flesh, fried doughnuts, and French fries into a sweet and greasy melody of death. Lucy breathed through her mouth, leaving Burroughs fumbling for his notebook as she approached the vat. If not for the burnt flesh part, the smell might have been at home at any McDonald's or Krispy Kreme.
"Actually not too bad once you get used to it," the guy from the medical examiner's said.
He squatted on the far side of the container, taking photos.
"I think that's what bothers me the most."
Lucy stayed clear as he positioned a ruler beside a wet footprint and shot another picture.
"Okay if I take a look?"
"Yeah, the crime scene guy's finished a while ago. I was just keeping busy until you got here."
"I'm ready to roll any time you are."
"Roll?" He nodded to a hand truck parked beside his van.
"Thought it'd be best to take the whole vat in. Empty her in the lab. Save all the trace."
"Good idea."
She looked over her shoulder. Burroughs was now engaged in earnest conversation with Dunmore, comparing notes on the Steelers' home opener. Lucy crept closer to the barrel. It stood chest high. She had to bounce up on her tiptoes to get a good peek inside. Maybe Burroughs was the smart one, avoiding this. A woman had been folded into the vat of oil. Her hair was brown, long like Ashley's, swirling around in a mass of overcooked French fries and other debris congealed into a waxy yellow substance that caked the top of the liquid.
"Rigor's come and gone," the assistant medical examiner said.
"She's been dead since sometime Friday. Can't say for sure until we get her back to the PM.
Want to see more?"
"Yes, please." Lucy forced a polite smile, even though every instinct in her body absolutely, positively did not want to see more of the mutilated corpse. He drew on a thick, black rubber glove that covered him up to his armpit and reached in, snagging the corpse's hair and pulling her head up. A golden brown oil ran off the curves and planes of the woman's face and neck. What it left in its wake was something Lucy was certain she wouldn't be able to banish from her dreams for months. There was no face. The eyes were gone, faint rims of the orbital bones gleaming white around a red, swollen mass of blisters. The nose looked like some creature had bitten it off, leaving behind a chalky white mass of irregular tissue. And the mouth. No lips, no tongue. A few teeth gaping from a large hole gnawed from gray-white-red swollen flesh.
"Did the same with her hands," the ME said.
"I figure he maxed out the fryer to about 400 degrees, then plunged her face into it, held her there a good long time."
He released the jaw, and the head fell forward, splashing in the oil, disturbing the layer of wax-coated debris.
"We found more teeth inside in the fryer pan. It'll take a few days, but we can probably get a decent dental reconstruction. That and DNA are going to be your only hope of IDing her."
"It's not Ashley."
The knowledge eased the stranglehold locking her jaw muscles. She stepped away from the container and took a deep breath.
"You sure?"
Dunmore asked. "They found her wallet in the trash can inside the employee break room."
"I'm sure.
Ashley only had one piercing in her ears. This woman has four earrings on this side, plus a cartilage piercing." The ME let the woman slip back down beneath the oil.
"You looking for someone named Ashley?"
"Missing kid from Plum,"
Burroughs said, coming closer but not looking into the container.
The ME frowned.
"Might have something that helps."
He closed the lid on the dead woman and trudged over to his evidence case. One of her hands was shoved up against the lid of the container.
The flesh was gone, as you can imagine, but I found these intertwined with the bones and soft tissue that remained. Photographed and bagged them before any more damage could occur. He handed Lucy two plastic evidence bags. One contained an oily hank of long, dark hair, torn out by the roots. The others, the remnants of a Piaget watch. The band had been mostly destroyed. The crystal was shattered. But the engraving on the back was clear. To Ashley, love, Dad. Lucy wordlessly handed them to Burroughs, who took one glance and reached for his cell. I figured our victim grabbed them as her attacker held her down in the fryer. A vision of Ashley holding another woman down in the vat of boiling oil filled Lucy's mind. The stench of frying flesh filled her throat, gagging her. Could Ashley have done this? Could Lucy have been wrong about everything?